We'd like to welcome you again to our program on Great Resolutions. This is Marty Robert, and with me again today is Bill Lawson. Welcome, Bill.
Welcome back. It's been a while.
Well, we're in the life of George Mueller, and we've covered a couple of sessions on George Mueller. If you recall, and I hope our listeners will recall, the first one we got into was to see about how the Lord's great mercy reached a young man, even a wicked young man, George Mueller. And we saw in that session about George Mueller's background and how he was such a hardened sinner and how he did not care at the least about God or even the things that he was doing. He had no repentance, no consciousness of sin. He just ignored the feelings he had within as his, in his conscience. In fact, he was so bold and hardened. If you remember, Bill, he could continue on and even go to seminary or Bible school and deal with things about God, but yet he himself was not saved.
Right. He could continue his profligate lifestyle, yet still, you know, present a facade of a Christian religious person.
Right. And then we saw how George Mueller, one time through a friend, was brought to a home, and he was really touched by the Lord. These saints were really manifesting Christ, and they just had a very simple manner of just getting into the Word and praying and touching the Lord in their hymns. And George Mueller was so touched by that that he walked away that night really sensing something of the Lord's presence, and he opened his heart, and in the process he got saved, and the good seed of life was sown into him. And then following that, in our last session, we saw what a dramatic or dynamic change took place in this new life. Mm-hmm. Out of this new life that our brother George Mueller received. He not only had joy within, but he had real peace with God, and he began to have love for the brothers. He began to experience the Lord beginning to deal with him and separate him from darkness, from sin, from his past, and had a love that began to well up in him, and he was constrained by the Lord to begin to live a life that's consecrated to the Lord, and even he desired to learn something of service to the Lord. These two sessions, I think, Bill, we really saw something of the Lord's working in spite of George Mueller, in spite of his terrible background. In fact, this was such a testimony to me that the Lord is able. We should have a believing heart that the ones we're praying for, even regardless of their condition, we have to believe the Lord is able to change people from within. And this is exactly what happened with our brother George Mueller.
Right. Even, Marty, with our program today, this matter of prayer, you can even see when you talked about his salvation experience in that small house, that intimate situation where, I mean, he witnessed people on their knees, adults on their knees, mm-hmm. earnestly beseeching the Lord, praying and opening their heart to the Lord. That was probably an unforgettable moment in his life, to see grown men on their knees, bowing down and submitting themselves to this God that he did not know.
Amen.
No doubt that really impressed him. Even he, no doubt, probably considered that and wanted to be such a prayer warrior, a praying man, just like those ones he saw at the beginning of his salvation.
Well, our brother George Mueller, he really had a burden that he could bear a testimony before God that the Lord was a prayer-hearing God. And he felt when he looked around him at other believers during this time that he said he had the sense even that some believers acted even that God was not so living to them.
Yeah, right.
And doubted or questioned. He saw the anxiety in people's lives, and he began to realize, he wondered if people, even real believers, knew the Lord was a living God.
Right.
And so, of course, we know George Mueller is well known for raising up these orphanages in Bristol, England. But his main burden we have to say, was to have a testimony, and he used these orphanages as a testimony that the Lord really is living and he hears prayers. And so he began his whole Christian life in this way. And actually, in the beginning of this program, Bill, I think I'd like to bring out, there's a quote by Andrew Murray.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, when the Lord wishes to teach the church either a truth that's not being practiced or understood, sometimes he has to raise up a man in order to bring forth this truth as a living witness. And so he said in the 19th century there, maybe among others, but George Mueller in particular was raised up to be a witness that our God indeed is the hearer of prayer.
Right.
And so Andrew Murray said, I know of no way in which the principal truths of God's word in regard to prayer can be more effectually illustrated and established than a short review of the life of George Mueller and to tell of all his prayer experiences. So George Mueller said, Andrew Murray said, if you want to know prayer, look at the life of George Mueller.
Mm-hmm.
Look at his experiences, and you'll learn something not only of the truth, but of the practice of prayer.
Right, Marty. His life, Mueller's life, was even the work that he did, whether it's orphanage, Sunday school, or whatever. It was a real testimony to believers and also unbelievers as well. Mm-hmm. That God is a living God, right? He hears prayers, he answers prayers, and we should have no doubt that when we open to him in an earnest way, he will answer our prayers, even if it takes years.
Right.
And some of Mueller's prayers were not answered until after he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, most were answered in his lifetime, a few after he passed away, just to showing that the very God, he's a God who answers prayer. No doubt he one of his first impressions was those people on their knees before God. And he was a believer that was not afraid even to open up the most infinitesimal or smallest item and pray for it.
Mm-hmm.
Not relying mainly on big matters in our life, life-changing situations, but he offered up every detail of his life, the names of people, the orphanage. His was a testimony that we can open up the smallest thing to the Lord Jesus, and where two or three are gathered together in the Lord's name, there he is, and he answers prayer, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Mm-hmm. Well, our brother George Mueller, of course, was so strong in this matter, and he really wanted others to know that the Lord was the one who really heard prayers, and that we need to continually come to him. Use this word, Bill. It's kind of funny. We don't use it too much today. Importuning.
Right.
He said we should be like that widow with the unjust judge in the parable in Luke that just kept coming again and again, bothering the unjust judge for the avenging of her case. And he's, of course, in that parable, we are told that we should approach the Lord in the same way, just continually come to him and make our requests known. Well, George Mueller, in the matter of prayer, said there are certain conditions that we must keep, or certain principles laid forth in the Word. And I appreciated these because I think in the church life, of course, we've learned some of these principles. And George Mueller laid out five in particular that he followed. The first one, he said, when we come to the Lord, we have to really depend upon his merits and know that there's only one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus.
Right, and not so, on any merits of our own, right?
That's right. So we can come based on the Lord's work of redemption, based upon his blood. We can come forward to God and in our prayer. Then he said, number two, and this is quite a key one, I feel, is that we need to be separated from any known sin. That in Psalms it says, if we regard any iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. Otherwise, he would be sanctioning sin. So this is another matter that we need to deal with, any sins that we are aware of before God, and forsaking them and confessing them, and so that we can have nothing between us and the Lord, and we can have a very clear sky in when we release our prayers to God. Then number three, he mentioned that we need to have faith in the Lord's word. Just believe the promises, stand upon the Lord's covenant, his oath. And we know that the Lord is not, he's not a liar. His words are true.
Right.
And that we can stand upon them and believe them and bring them to him in our prayer. Then number four, we should ask and make our requests known, especially if they're according to his will. So he said, you know, like I think Watchman Nee brought this out also, that our motives should be, we're just here for the Lord's will to be done. We're not asking for a gift just for our own lust or for something for ourselves, but we're here to pray in accord with the Lord's will being done on the earth. And then finally, we need to have importunity in our supplication. That means we must just keep coming and coming again. And sometimes, of course, this involves waiting on the Lord and in patience, just keep continually coming before him in our prayer in a consistent way. And so I think these five principles or five conditions for prevailing prayer that George Mueller laid out are very helpful to us.
These principles are quite a lesson for us even today. Of course, Mueller also, he was not ashamed, you know, even to bring the smallest, as I mentioned, matters to the Lord for prayer and fellowship. And many times, right when he first opened up as that orphan home, he prayed for the helpers to help him establish his home. He prayed for the furniture, all kinds of details. And then he records that he didn't pray for one thing. He didn't pray for the children, the orphans, to fill up the orphanage.
Yes, that was
really
funny.
Amazing. Then eventually the Lord touched him. How about praying for the actual orphans to fill up the orphanage?
Right.
And after that, the Lord, I think, history tells us, just flooded that orphanage with, probably, what, 5,000, 10,000? Is it with 10,000 orphans?
I think over the years, that's right.
Over the years, he learned to pray not just for himself first, but for other people as well. He was very practical in his prayer. He would write down a list. He would pray for them daily. He would not let them go. Like you mentioned, he prayed and in an importuning way. That means to plead earnestly and sincerely. Of course, not to beg so much in the natural human way, but to plead with the Lord fervently, like Fanny Crosby's hymn, "Rescue the Perishing." She mentions one of the lines in that hymn that says, "Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently, until they come to Christ." So, and no doubt, George Mueller really implemented those matters of prayer, and he just was. What would you say, unflagging, relentless in his prayer coming to the Lord. He would just not let these ones go, and he sometimes would wait. He would pray for a year, then someone would be saved. Then he would be importuned for 5 years.
Right.
Be 6 years. Eventually that one he saw brought to the Lord. So this was a real lesson for us to keep persevering in prayer, not to give up. Right, the Lord, is one who answers prayers, but not according to our timetable. We have our timetable; the Lord has His. But eventually, Mueller never gave up, and he realized that the Lord would answer every prayer, but it was according to the Lord's timetable.
Well, he gives one example here, Bill, of 1844, when he began to pray for five individuals in particular.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, he would write them down on his list. And George Mueller said, "I prayed every day without a single intermission." He said, whether he was sick or in health, whether he was on the land or on the sea, whatever the pressure and busyness of all his engagements, he said he just prayed every day for these ones. And little by little, he said, took 18 months for the first one, and then 5 years before the second one was converted. And he just kept pressing on day by day, and then 6 years passed before the third one. And the last two apparently went years and years before anything happened. And actually, someone asked him, "Are you really sure that the Lord intended for these couple people to be saved?"
Yeah.
And George Mueller said he believed the Holy Spirit lays particular ones on your heart for prayer,
right,
then these are the ones to be saved. He said, do you think God would have kept me praying all these years if he did not intend to save them?
Right.
So George Mueller, actually, it's recorded, he prayed, I think it was 50 years for these last two to be saved. And there is a testimony that one of them was converted shortly before George Mueller's death, and the other one passed away right after his death. So I was so impressed. You know, even George Mueller testified himself. He had seen tens of thousands of answers to prayer.
Yeah.
Even the selfsame day on which he offered those prayers. But these, in particular for one salvation, he said, caused him to pray for a long period of time. In fact, this was quite a burden, this matter of persevering prayer, Bill. You know, George Mueller said he felt this was a great fault of the Lord's children, was that they were not persistent in prayer. So he has a statement. He says, "Not good enough to begin to pray, nor to pray aright, even if your prayer is fully according to the Lord's will. That's very good, but..." He said, "The real burden is that we would continue for a time to pray. We must be patiently, believingly, continue in prayer until we obtain an answer." And I thought that is really good. Of course, Paul tells us that we need to persevere in prayer.
Right.
So I think, of course, we all have the experience. The enemy would like us just, "Oh, well, it's not being answered. Forget it." But
right.
No, George Mueller said, "No, we need to persevere, keep continuing on, pray day after day, month after month, year after year, until the Lord hears our prayer."
Of course, he too, Marty, he was not only burdened, of course, for the unsaved, obviously, because he was one once, but he was also very much burdened for the believers,
right,
for their growth, their development, even their development in the prayer life. So he prayed many times also for the real spiritual growth and prosperity among the believers with whom he labored. And this was really quite something, that at one point he testified that he began to realize some manifestation of growth and grace and truth in the believers that he was with. This was a very much encouragement to him to realize that even we can pray for the growth, not just merely the salvation of the lost, and the Lord would answer, but we could pray for the fellow saints and believers that we know, and then they could grow in life, and that would also be an answer to prayer.
Amen.
So this was quite good. Mueller also, right, George Mueller, he also, in his prayer, he did not pray in a begging way or a natural religious way.
Right.
But he prayed in a way that he didn't just ask for something ridiculous or just wild, like maybe a lot of money or to do something miraculous. Because Mueller had such a relationship with the Lord in an intimate way daily, he had the realization and sense as he was praying in an intimate way with the Lord, in a way that was unencumbered, he could get a sense from the Lord that the Lord's will was there. It wasn't just he was just praying for something that was just far-fetched or ridiculous, that God would do something or give him something or do something for his work, but that he was one with the Lord to such an extent he knew the Lord's will. So when he would pray many times for situations, that prayer was a reflection of the Lord's own desire in prayer.
Amen.
So it wasn't just asking for something ridiculous. That prayer was in line with the Lord's will.
Mm-hmm.
And surely the Lord told us if we would ask anything in his name and according to his will, it would be done to us.
Amen.
So Mueller, right, in his prayer, right, very spontaneous, very easy, very effortless, because he was such a person, a man who touched God in his fellowship with God.
Well, Bill, regarding this matter, I was very impressed with a note that I found that from Witness Lee, and actually found out that he really enjoyed George Mueller's biography.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Lee said that George Mueller was one who lived before God and fellowshiped with him continually.
Mm.
He said when you read George Mueller's biography, you really had a sense that the Lord was really with him, and the Lord mm-hmm. was in his prayers. And like you say, he was praying according to the Lord's will, and this was out of his fellowship with the Lord. It's so sweet. Well, Bill, you know, George Mueller not only liked to pray on his own, but he liked to pray with others.
And, right. And even his wife.
That's right.
I hope we don't lose sight of that.
That's right. He really depended on that verse in Matthew 18:19, where he would bring that to the Lord often. When he was with someone else, he would remind the Lord that the two of them are together in harmony on earth concerning a particular matter, and that they could ask, and that the Lord's will would be done from them, for them, from the Father. So, he would pray with his fellow workers, and he also testified. Probably his chief companion in all his prayer was his wife, and I thought that was so sweet to pray together. And of course, he mentioned based on Peter, 1 Peter 3:7, that you know the husband and wife are fellow heirs together of grace.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a very good testimony to married couples to pray together to bring the matters and persons to the Lord together, especially ones that we are shepherding. I think this is a very good testimony.
I enjoyed what you shared just a while ago, Marty, about persevering in prayer. That mm-hmm. means you don't stop. That means when you start, you don't give up easy.
Mm-hmm.
When you start, you don't, you know, after a while, if things are not happening outwardly, and say, oh, prayer doesn't work. He was an example of one who persevered in prayer. That means he would say, it's not enough to begin to pray,
right?
Nor even to pray aright. Even it's not enough to continue for a time to pray. But he said, we must patiently, believingly, even, he said,
mm-hmm.
continue in prayer until we obtain an answer. And that's a real lesson, especially for the young people, the younger ones, you know, who are listening to this program. It's so easy for us to be disappointed when we don't have an immediate answer to prayer and we say it doesn't work. Well, we have to learn how to persevere in prayer, continue in prayer until we get a definite answer.
Well, even George Mueller mentioned regarding this that sometimes the Lord is even moved to delay an answer so that we'll just keep coming to him and spending time with him. I think it's very sweet that the Lord's desire is not only to answer our prayers, but to be with us and to draw us to himself in our prayers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's so much we can learn from the example of our brother George Mueller. And, of course, we all also need to exercise our priestly function to bear before God all different persons and matters that the Lord places on our hearts. And I think we've learned in the past, and we need to continue to ask the Lord to save us from the sin of prayerlessness.
Right.
That we would give ourselves to prayer in a not just in a an annual way or a monthly way, but more the Lord has to lead us into this kind of prayer life, a daily prayer life, that we can make our requests known to him day by day and persevere in prayer. So, Bill, I think this is a very good program. Maybe we'll stop here. I just want to let our listeners know that next time we'll continue on with George Mueller and see something more, that what was his source of supply
mm-hmm.
and his strength and his grace to persevere in prayer like he did. And I think we'll really be helped if we tune in to the next podcast as we continue with the testimony of our dear brother, George Mueller.
Very good, Marty.
All right, Bill, thanks for this time. We'll sign off here.